It's music by George Frederick Handel from his oratorio Judas Maccabeus. And I actually didn't even mean to introduce it that way, but promptly forgot what I meant to do, because that's a tune that I'm sure is familiar to many of our listeners, because it shows up on here on this station in a couple of different guises. And most people, including myself, didn't necessarily know where it comes from. And now you know. I gave it away immediately. That was a performance by the UC Berkeley Chamber Chorus and the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas McGeegan. The oratorio Judas Maccabeus will be performed by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana this coming Sunday night at 7:30 at Smith Memorial Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And we'll be talking about that with the music director of the Baroque Artists, Chet Alwiss, coming up in just a moment. And later on the show, it is Amasong, who are going to be giving their spring concerts also this weekend in Champaign, Saturday and Sunday at McKinley Presbyterian Church. And we'll look forward to meeting their new director, who makes her debut. She did her first one in the fall, or is it? Well, we'll find out. I can't remember if she's starting with this concert, which I think she is. I'm Kevin Kelly. This show is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances, and I appreciate your joining us this afternoon. Chester Alwiss, founding music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, has been on this show many times, not only for Baroque Artists concerts, but also when he was professor of choral music at the University of Illinois, where he is now emeritus, I guess, with the concert choir there and other ensembles that he has led over the years. So, Chet, welcome back to the show.
It's nice to be back, Kevin. Thank you.
This performance crept up on me, and I'm afraid, so I'm glad
that we
were able to...
It crept up on all of us.
Well, when you're doing a piece this large, yeah, potentially even larger than you're doing, I'm sure,
right,
it's going to creep up on you because an awful lot of preparation involved. So who was Judas Maccabeus? It's a name I've heard.
Judas Maccabeus was you mentioned in your promo, which I heard, thank you very much, was a very valiant Jewish warrior who led the revolt against the pagan Greco-Syrian oppressors. It was in the 2nd century BCE, like 170, I want to say. And this was an attempt to throw off oppressors who made them worship idols and this kind of thing. And eventually he defeated them in a series of battles, and this was all chronicled in the book of 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which doesn't occur, ironically, in the Jewish Torah or the Jewish Bible, but does occur in the Christian Bible in the Apocrypha. It was accepted as canonical by the Council of Trent in the 16th century, but it appears as neither Old or New Testament. It's sort of one of those other pieces of the Bible.
One of those bits of the Bible that I always wonder where these things come from,
right,
if you have readings in church from them.
Yes, yeah. The wisdom of Sirach. And
there's one, yeah.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Whoever Sirach is, and somebody must know. Neither you nor I, apparently.
I should also say that Rabbi Klein pointed out when we had a forum on this that the story of Judas Maccabeus is really the root or the principal justification now for the Jewish Feast of Hanukkah. And they've turned it in from a war-winning battle where they slaughtered lots of people into this miracle of the Feast of Lights, where the light, the oil and lamp keeps burning for 8 days, which is where the menorah comes from.
And does his name essentially mean Judas of the Maccabees or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Who were, what, a sect of,
yes,
the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you told me just even as we were preparing to go on air here, that this particular oratorio and Handel's own day more popular than Messiah, which of course is the biggie now.
Yes, in Handel's day, this piece was performed at least as much, and I think more than, I think there were 50 plus performances of Judas Maccabeus. It began in 1747. It was written by Handel in his typical kind of cursory, quick fashion in the summer of 1746, originally conceived as an oratorio to celebrate a British victory over the invading Scots Jacobean forces who were Catholic and wanted to try to oust the Hanoverian dynasty and replace the Stuart dynasty. And that happened at the Battle of Culloden in Scotland in April of 1746. And Handel wrote this piece to celebrate the victory by the Duke of Cumberland, who was the brother of the Prince of Wales. And that was so it has a quite political overtone to it, and its association with British victory and their association themselves with both the Jews and the Romans, curiously enough, because the Romans worked their way in a very kind of elliptical way to this piece, as people who are not idol worshippers and who are benevolent dictators, I mean, you know, empire and all that stuff. So it's become quite a celebrated piece over there.
As with all oratorios, there's a mix of musical elements to it. There are choruses, there are instrumental numbers, there are what are known as recitatives, which essentially, well, in opera it would be a sung dialogue.
Yes.
And it has a little bit of a different
oratorio is sort of the stepchild of opera. It's opera without all the trimmings. No scenery, no props, no really characters. I mean, there are two named characters in this oratorio, Simon, who's the brother of Judas Maccabeus, and Judas Maccabeus. Then the soprano and alto, or in Handel's case, it was actually a mezzo-soprano, are simply referred to as Israelitish man and woman.
Sort of making comment on the proceedings,
yes,
or something?
Mm-hmm. But they are not named characters.
And, of course, so therefore these people sing a lot of arias.
Right.
So we have some of these are better known than others, and I have set up here one involving the character of
Simon. Yes,
who is the bass or the tenor?
The bass.
He's the bass, and in your case, it's a faculty member at the University of Illinois,
Ricardo Herrera. We're delighted. This is his first performance with us, and I sing with him at High Holy Days, and I've been very impressed with his singing, musicality, and his daughter sings in the Central Illinois Children's Chorus too, which is joining us for this performance. So that makes it doubly nice.
Reminding people that we're talking with Chet Always, who's music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, who are performing Judas Maccabeus of Handel Sunday night at 7:30 at Smith Recital Hall on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. And here are the recitative, aria, and chorus. I feel the deity within, arm, arm, ye brave, then the Aryan chorus. But actually, before I play it, tell us a little bit about why are certain of the sung solo parts set as these recitatives, you know, sort of
well,
as opposed to the
function
aria.
Of the recitative in either opera or oratorio is to move the drama, the narrative along. That's where you get the action. And then the arias are like soliloquies in Hamlet or Shakespeare, where characters step out of time, literally, and comment upon what has just transpired.
Okay, it's from music from Judas Maccabeus. And our bass here is David Thomas with the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, Nicholas McGeegan conducting on Live and Local. It's music from the oratorio Judas Maccabeus by George Frederick Handel. We heard from Act One a recitative called I Feel the Deity Within, and then the aria and chorus, Arm, Arm, Ye Brave, featuring the character of Simon, sung here, I was going to say played here, which I guess is sort of fair enough anyway, by bass David Thomas with the UC Berkeley Chamber Chorus and the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra conducted by Nicholas McGeegan. And the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana will perform this oratorio Sunday night in Urbana with various soloists, choruses, and of course the orchestra under music director Chet Always, who's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Chet is somebody, myself, who puts together performances on occasion of various types and just did recently, not least in these days of dwindling musical budgets, but not having to deal recently anyway with a chorus and an orchestra and soloists and something and so on as you do usually at least a couple times,
well, you did it last
three
summer.
Times a year. Last summer, yeah. What are some of the challenges of putting together such a multi-layered piece like this?
The first challenge in any of these Handel oratorios is deciding what you're going to do and what you're going to cut, because they're all too long to rehearse in the allotted time that we have, you know, available. So you have to make cuts. That's number one. Then you have this kind of three-tiered process of working. The chorus has a rather long learning curve. Maybe longer than it needs to be, but it's sort of traditional, and they expect that.
They rehearse weeks and weeks.
Yeah, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And they have 13 choruses to sing, so there's a good bit to do, but none of it's terribly difficult. The soloists, much shorter lead time than the chorus, but more than the orchestra, especially in this case, and as I alluded to, because of financial considerations, I did away with a string rehearsal for this. So I'm doing one rehearsal prior to the dress rehearsal. On Friday night, we have to put all of it together. And you know what a logistical nightmare that can become.
So when you say put everything together, meaning put the orchestra together or
yeah.
put the orchestra with the chorus?
The orchestra, the chorus, the soloist, all in one night.
And then have a dress rehearsal.
And then have a dress rehearsal the next morning, yeah.
Wow, so no separate rehearsal for the orchestra at all.
No, uh-uh.
That's frightening to me anyway.
It is a bit frightening to me too.
And I imagine that to a lot of listeners who go to orchestra concerts or go to your concerts or any of a number of different concerts, it can be a bit of a shock to realize that this all comes together in such a short period.
Yes, it's due to it's well known that string players, orchestral players are used to doing things quickly, sometimes more quickly than they should, but they one assumes with the chorus that they don't read at that level and can't do it in a very short amount of time. With an orchestra, you assume they practice, they take private lessons, they know how to read music and all that kind of stuff. So if you get good players, as you know, you can do that. You can get away with this, but it's living on the edge all the time. So I have to be careful then as I schedule the rehearsal, I start with the full complement and work downward so that I get rid of people who in the course of the oratorio would be spaced out. But I'll do all of the brass things and all the children's choir things at the beginning so they can leave. And then we whittle our way down toward the recitatives at the end.
Except in the dress rehearsal, where I assume you actually do it in order.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
that would be even so
that we all know what the right order is.
Yeah, that would be scary to the performers who always want to know that sort
exactly.
of thing. Let's hear a little bit more from this. This is another recitative. Well, I guess we're not doing the recitative. We're just going to do.
You can skip it. It's only four bars long.
The aria and chorus.
Right.
This one is sung by the character of Judas Maccabeus, sung by tenor.
It's a famous tenor aria, Sound and Alarm, with like 13 high A's, and with trumpets and timpani that come in. The opening part of the aria is just continuo, and then 50 measures in, the tutti orchestra comes in, and that leads into the chorus, who are aroused to action by this stirring martial music.
In this case, the chorus sort of acting as the soldiers or
it's a crowd chorus, not unlike those in the Passion. Yeah, exactly. This is the Israelite army who have been summoned together.
So the chorus takes on different roles according
yes.
to
yes.
wherever they are in the
right.
story.
Exactly.
Here is tenor Guy de May, if I'm saying his name right, with the same groups we heard before, UC Berkeley Chamber Chorus and the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, Nicholas McGeegan conducting here on Live and Local.
Sound and alarm, sound and alarm.
Music from Act Two of the Oratorio Judas Maccabeus by George Frederick Handel here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Much of the oratorio, if not most of it, is going to be performed by the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana Sunday night at 7:30 at Smith Recital Hall in the University of Illinois campus in Urbana under the direction of music director Chester Always. I know, Chet, you said at the beginning you have to decide with these oratorios how much to do. So how much are you doing without saying exactly how many numbers?
Between two-thirds and three-fourths.
So a pretty good chunk of it.
A great big chunk of it, but leaving out some things that are sort of narrative, you know, side channels and things that don't really go anywhere. And then when you do that, you've got to make sure that the tonality connection is still there.
Tonality meaning from key to key.
From key to key. Because if you leave something out, you may be leaving out a modulation from one key to another. So this is the
sort of thing that musicians typically worry about more than audience members.
Yeah, audiences would not be aware of it at all, hopefully. Yeah.
Or they might be that something was unsettled and they didn't know why.
I hope not.
So. Well, I mean, if you didn't resolve a key, I think people
do
notice these things.
Yeah, yeah.
The Baroque artists over the, 16, 17 mm-hmm. years of your existence? This is your 17th season,
17th
right?
year, yeah.
You've done a number of Handel oratorios. I don't really know how many there are.
There are 16 or 17, as I remember. We've done like five.
And of the ones you've done, and for that matter, just overall, where does this sort of fall in Handel's output? I guess by which I mean of importance, let's say.
Well, importance.
If that's an even fair question.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think it's one of the better known, certainly, oratorios we've talked about, even in America. Chronologically, it lies somewhere in the middle. It's 4 years after Messiah. And a couple of years before Solomon. So it's it's in the central part of what he's doing, but not at the very end or at the very beginning. We've done both of the very early ones, Israel and Egypt and Saul. And then Messiah would be the next one, this one, and then Solomon comes after it.
So is that coming next?
We've already done Solomon.
Oh, you did do Solomon.
Yeah,
okay.
I think the next one would be either be Joshua or Jephthah, which is the last oratorio Handel wrote. He was nearly blind when he finished it.
And Joshua, of course, character that most churchgoers will know, and probably
yes,
some others as well.
Right, exactly.
Anybody who knows the spiritual Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho.
And actually, he's mentioned in one of the recitatives.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, we're going to go out with another of the choruses from this. I guess it starts as a duet.
We're doing it with Central Illinois Children's Chorus. They're singing it in lieu of solo to duet. So
okay.
It's a charming melody, and in fact, some people, certainly in my church choir, will recognize it because we've sung it as an anthem. Mm. Mr. Hobson, whom you probably know, Hal Hobson, has retexted this as Praise the Lord, and instead of Hail Judea, Happy Land, and made it into a quite accessible and lovely choir anthem.
I wonder if that's the one I'm about to hand out to my choir today.
Could be. Three parts.
They don't know that yet.
Yeah.
No, it's a four-part.
Well,
we'll see which one it is. Well, Chet, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And
Thanks, Kevin.
Wish you best of luck with piecing this all together on the weekend.
We'll see how it goes.
Well, I've been to many of your performances, and it's always, I've often heard how the nail-biting nature of the process, and it always seems to come out well. It's never dull.
it's always an edge to it.
Well, then the performances are always exciting. Thank Baroque you. Artists of Champaign-Urbana with the Central Illinois Children's Chorus and soloists performing Judas Maccabeus Sunday night in Urbana. Here is Hail, Hail Judea from that oratorio. Stay tuned for some of the singers of the women's chorus called Emma Song, and we'll introduce their new director as well in the next portion of Live and Local. Music from Handel's Oratorio Judas Maccabeus here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. And we've got music coming up next, live in our studio and on recording, by Emma Song, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus, who are giving their annual spring concerts this Saturday and Sunday in Champaign. Well, I'm sure you recognize the tune, traditional Eastern United States tune as it's billed here, Shenandoah, as arranged by Christina Berger, who is the founding director of Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus, and was the director of the chorus. At the time this recording was made, it comes from a CD called Amai, which is also the name of one of the tunes. And from way back in 1990, well, the recording in 99, but it was put together, I believe, we have people who were on it at that time, from performances that were given over a period of time. It's not, their CDs typically not, they don't have recording sessions and go out and decide we're going to make this CD. They collect performances they thought were pretty good from over their various concerts. And they are giving their spring concerts this weekend, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 4 o'clock, both of them at McKinley Presbyterian Church on South 5th Street in Champaign, a lovely place to hear music, by the way. And they have a new director. Her name is Jill Crandall. We actually met her last time we did a feature on Amasong before their winter concerts. But at the time, she was kind of a member of the chorus and also one of the three interim directors. And I was told we could announce right at the end that, in fact, she was the winning director, I suppose you could say. And so we have nine members plus Jill in the studio with us just now to give us some samples of their concerts that are happening this weekend. So welcome, Jill, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a fun semester.
Why don't you tell me, and therefore our audience, because I don't know the answer to this question, where did you come from? What did you do before you got here? And how's it gone so far?
I came up year before last from Athens, Georgia. Great music town. And since I came up, I've been playing around with Amasong and having fun. It's been a great couple of years.
Well, what brought you here?
Oh, spouse. The University of Illinois Law School brought me here, but not me.
Well, these things happen a lot in university towns.
They do indeed.
I do know that. So you went from one university town to another. You must like that sort of thing.
Well, maybe I like the person who drags me around.
I hope that you do if you're gonna follow around like that. So what's it like to, or what's it been like? I mean, I guess these ladies are all friends, so you can say what's it been like to get broken into a chorus.
This chorus is great.
I mean, a lot of these women have gone through many directors.
They have indeed. Back in Georgia, I founded a women's chorus, the Meridian Women's Chorus, but I was the founder, so I was I had nothing for them to compare to. But these ladies, man, they keep me on the straight and narrow, keep me on track. So no, it's been great. It's been great.
And what's your own? Do you have a choral background?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did. I'm mostly in church music, so 20 years or so serving in as church music person. I told the ladies earlier today that I was feeling really inarticulate because of the weather, and that's being borne out right in front of your ears.
Because it's a, hey, listen, I do this professionally, and I can't talk half the time myself, so it's okay. Yesterday was a bit of a talking disaster as far as I was concerned. So hopefully we won't both be stumbling along here, which is maybe a cue to have the women sing something.
I think that's a great cue. Our concert this semester is called Wandering Woman, probably because I've been wandering a bit, and maybe because we've been thinking about trains, planes, and automobiles. But the song that we'd like to sing is sort of in English. I think Beth is going to tell us about it.
So this is a song that Jill arranged for us from a poem she found on the internet by a wonderful Indian poet, Oteri Selvakumar. It's called My Car, and he told us that it's not in Tamil and it's not in English, it's in heart speak. So you have to really listen to the words to understand heart speak. And he gave Jill this wonderful instruction that we should please add enjoy to the music.
No.
Add enjoy to music.
Yes.
Add enjoy to music. That's the kind of English we're dealing with in this song, and it's wonderful.
Heart speak.
Heart speak.
Was this his?
I think that's his construction.
Creation?
Yeah. He's got a way with words. You'll see.
All right. Well, let's give a listen. Members of Amasong, here on Live and Local.
My car is only, my car is two wheels. No want petrol, no want biogas. Two member only. Travel my car everywhere, every side my car move and move. My car move and move. Run and run with my leg speed. I was playing my car each every day. My car name was Cycle. I was lovingly calling car. Yes. I love my car. My car is only.
I love my car. My car is only.
I love my car. My car. My car. My car is only. My car is two wheels. No want petrol. No want biogas. Two member only. Cycle is my car. What is your car?
I'd look around twice to see who was ringing the bell. I found it right there at the end. What was that called again?
My car.
Oh, fair enough. Sung by 9 members of Amasong under the direction of Jill Crandall, who is new as their director this semester. There are spring concerts happening Saturday and Sunday in Champaign. We'll give you the details coming up. You know, it used to be, and maybe still predominantly is, and you can answer this, you can tell me if it is or not, or if something has changed, or if things have changed just over time gradually, that if not all, at least most of the music that Amasong would sing was by, for, and or about women.
That is still the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem to qualify in any way.
I arranged it.
The composer.
Yeah, I composed that. I mean, the lyric is
about a bicycle.
The lyric is about a bicycle.
Okay, you said, all right, now you said you arranged it, or did you compose it?
I composed it.
Well, then that's different.
Oh, sorry. There was no tune with the poem.
But is that still largely true and
yes.
has remained largely true?
Yes.
Because there's certainly been music now and then that, not sure if that's true or not.
The board instructed me that there was some leeway. The board instructed me that there was some leeway with that directive, particularly nice pieces. If it was lovely and we wanted to sing it, we would do whatever we wanted. So, but the impetus, I think, is music for women, by women, about women. Yeah. Arranged by women. I think women arrangers and composers, we need to hear more music and sort of fly that flag a little bit.
Well, what do you think, you know, for singers, anybody who wants to answer this, what do you think that does for you as members of the chorus to do that? Why is that important?
One of the things I like about singing music by women or arranged or composed by women is that they understand women's voices in a way that men just can't. And I think that really adds something to the pieces, that they know what it's like to sing the high G's and A's that the sopranos have to do, or the low notes that the alto twos have to do, and that they know how to make those things work in a way that I think most male composers just, it's much harder for them because it's not their instrument.
Because this is assuming that the women writing the songs actually sing themselves.
Yeah, but also even just as a, you know, your speaking voice and you're being surrounded by women that you're speaking to, I think that that can factor into it as well.
Okay. What else? Why else is that important, you think? Kathy Spiegel, I happen to know who you are, first and last name.
Very good, Kevin. I think the other thing is that it's empowering for us to be able to look at and see pieces that have been written by and for women. It's good for the soul, and it's good for us to be able to then relay that to others.
What empowering in what way?
To note that women can do those kinds of things. I think about Hildegard von Bingen and how many years her music went sort of undiscovered, and then all of a sudden when people started singing it, found out that she was a phenomenal arranger, a phenomenal musician. It wasn't recognized at the time because women weren't supposed to do those things. But now we can, and it is recognized.
And, you know, so many classical composers, let's say in the orchestral world or chamber music world, who are women, really didn't get any airing whatsoever. I'm just sort of thinking of Fanny Mendelssohn, for example.
Clara Schumann.
Well, Schumann was given maybe, well, no, she was more of a performer and quite prominent as one, apparently, in her day, but not as a composer. And I guess Felix actively squelched Fanny's compositions, which is sort of galling to consider because they were pretty darn good. Is that a composer, do you recall, that you've done any for music? I don't even know if she's written things for choir.
We have done a few of her songs. She has a few songs in German, of course. But yeah, we haven't done any. But.
Well, speaking of German, which raises the whole issue of language, which we have not infrequently touched on when you guys have come in here, I'm looking at the info off of your website. It says singing in Finnish, Zulu, Taiwanese, English. What was the one we just? Heart speak. And even Piratese.
Yes.
That was intriguing.
I think with the change of director, sometimes you need to just lighten up a little bit and have a relaxed semester. So this semester, you'll see a little more of Amasong's humorous side. You may not realize, but I think you should talk about this, Pam. Amasong Gone Wrong is a well-kept secret, but it should
Amasong
not be.
Amasong Gone Wrong?
Now it's going to be public.
So we have an internal choir called Amasong Gone Wrong, and it's a parody choir.
Is this a recent development?
No, it started under Megan Johnson Smith, our last director, maybe in her first year, something like that, because it's a way to let off steam. We pull personalities and quirks from chorus members, from the directors, things that happen in rehearsal that happen over and over, and it's just kind of a way to let off steam. We always try to do maybe a performance at a potluck here and there, and we're going to probably have a performance at the choir festival we're hosting in 2014.
Which I do want to ask you about coming up. I at least saw notice of that.
Maybe so yeah, it's just a little, it's a little humorous side to Amasong.
But so far, no significant public debut.
No.
Well, I think,
but
I think this will
the
give
pirate
it
thing will have a taste of it.
So Amasong Gone Wrong has infiltrated
the
larger chorus.
much to our delight.
can I assume that since you say "our," that you are among this particular group?
Yeah, I was one of the instigators.
You are the lyricist of a wonderful Star Wars themed take on one of our West African folk songs, for example.
Yes.
No, I'm seriously intrigued.
I have to pull the lyric sheet, but yes, it was an African song about honoring your ancestors. So the names were so crazy anyway. I just went through the Star Wars, not just the movies, but the books too, and pulled different characters that fit to the music.
You realize that the next time you all show up, I'm going to be expecting one of these songs now.
I will put it in my folder and make sure I bring it next time. Because it's really easy to learn. It's a call and response song.
Oh, so we can learn it. Yeah. We can learn it on the show.
Sure.
Oh, I like that idea. I'll forget this, though, so I'm going to rely on somebody's
remembering. You need to do a prairie ensemble concert with Star Wars soundtrack, and then we'll throw it in.
Oh, that's a whole other topic. We did the prairie ensemble last week, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, and we have members of Amasong Live with us in the studio. They have their spring concerts this weekend. And so 9 members out of singing how many this weekend? How many currently? I know the group goes up and down depending upon.
I think we're right around 40 right now.
So pretty healthy number, mm-hmm. seems like. Because I know it's gone up and down according to the whims and interests and time availability of whoever's around. What do you want to do next?
How about Sail Away? This is an old fiddle tune that Judith Harrington pretty masterfully set for women's voices. Kind of really like this. It's fun and has a lot of clapping.
I'm really trying to imagine a fiddle tune for voices. Intriguing.
Fiddle tune for voices.
Sail away, lady, sail away, oh lady, sail away, oh lady, sail. Ain't no use to sit and cry, sail away, lady, sail away, you'll be an angel by and by, sail away, lady, sail away, don't you rock 'em nightly, oh, don't you rock 'em nightly, oh.
I'm just trying to remember. Did you tell me the name of the song? I'm just stuck on the fiddle tune notion. And now I'm trying to imagine how it would sound on a fiddle. But that was nice. That was fun. I was supposed to give you a signal earlier whether it was time for one or two songs.
Oh, well, that
you
was,
want to do another one right now?
No.
Oh, that was your ender. That was the ender right there.
That was the ender.
Well,
I think so.
That's fair enough. Amasong will give its spring concerts on Saturday and Sunday, 7:30. On Saturday, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, McKinley Presbyterian Church in both cases, 809 South 5th Street, corner of 5th and John Streets in Champaign. And for those who always think there's no parking there, which is what I often hear, I don't know if you always hear that. There's a huge parking garage right across the street. And in a block away, I think on 6th Street as well. And University of Illinois just finished up, so I don't know how active campus town will be, but should be nothing to keep you from going to the concert, I guess.
Well, that particular, the one right across from McKinley, is always open after 5 anyway. So,
oh, yeah.
And on the weekends. Yes. So there's no excuse. Parking is no problem at McKinley.
And we're pleased to welcome not only the 9 members who are with us, but also the new director, Jill Crandall, who's making her solo directing debut, as opposed to with Amasung as opposed to the co-directing debut or interim co-directing debut.
That is true. It was a lot easier when somebody else was doing all the heavy lifting last when all I had to do was come in and wave my arms for a couple of times. We shouldn't leave today, though, without plugging the Sister Singer Network
I was gonna
festival
ask you about that.
Coming
yeah.
up. Yeah.
Although it's
Suzanne,
been a
you
while.
Need to give us...
Yeah, actually, 2013 and 2014 are going to be really big years for Amasung. We have another CD coming out in December of 2013. These are primarily recordings that were made live during Megan Johnson Smith's tenure with Amasung, so that should be available at our December concert. And in 2014, we are hosting the Sister Singers Network National Women's Choral Festival. We're expecting choruses from around the country to join us. I think at this point we have choruses coming from Ohio, coming from Alaska, coming from
Maine,
coming from Cleveland. And it'll be an opportunity for community members to hear these choruses sing. It'll be an opportunity for these choruses to sing together and share information about the music that they love. We're also working on bringing in some outside world music performers, which we're hoping to be able to announce to the community soon, because the festival will be hosted at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, so there will be lots of tickets available. And we're just super excited about this possibility and about bringing this to Central Illinois.
And because it happens in July, we want to start getting the word out now so that people make plans to be in Central Illinois in late July.
Of 2014.
Of 2014. Yes. The 21st through
25th
the...
25th through the 27th.
Oh, yeah, wow, I got late. That wrong.
Well, let me know as details get firmed up, and I'll do my best to help out in some
yes,
way or another.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming in. Best of luck with the performances this weekend.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, where we are going to be doing what on tomorrow's show? I can't remember, but we'll be back with another one at 4 o'clock and until 5 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And here is another off of Amasung's earlier Amai CD. This is music by Aulis Salonen called Sympathy.
Sympathy, 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 sympathy.